Greetings to the Path family. Our slogan at the Path is meeting you where you are. We invite you to follow, share, and check us out on social media. You may connect with us at any time, anywhere, on Facebook at The Path Church or Instagram and Twitter at Join the Path. Without further delay, enjoy this week's sermon.
Amen. All right. I want to hear from YouTube first. What is your favorite Christmas movie? So if you haven't done this before, log on to menti.com. The code is 1703631. 1703631, A Christmas Story, a classic. Okay. What is your, A Preacher's Wife. Home Alone, Elf. All right. Okay. Christmas Vacation, Scrooge. All right, everybody in the audience here, go ahead and join in. Want to hear from you. You know, I actually, back in the day, liked Scrooged a lot. Bill Murray. Yeah, he killed that. I don't know why I get deep into movies, so it's like, it's a story, man. I mean, you know, Ghost of Christmas Past, Present, Future. I mean, it's, you know, and then I'm also an Elf fan. Every time, he's funny to me. He's not funny to everybody. He's funny to me. I'm an Elf guy. And then there's a new one we're getting into. We're trying to make a tradition of it. Jingle Jangle. Yeah, okay, I heard. Yeah, we're trying to make a tradition out of Jingle, watching that every year. Jingle Jangle. That's a good one. A really, really good one. Let's see, what else? The Grinch, Die Hard, okay, yes, that's also, did you put that on there, honey? Was that you? Did you write that? But I know that's a good one. That's one of my wife's for sure. Home Alone 2, yep. Wasn't there Home Alone 3? I don't see that one up there. Polar Express, okay. I must say, I would consider myself a little bit of a movie connoisseur. Yeah. You know, I like the finer things in movies. You know, I'm somewhere in the middle of a movie buff and a movie critic. All right, so movie buffs are the people that just enjoy going to the movies a lot. You just like movies. It doesn't take much for you to enjoy it and be entertained. You're not looking for a lot. You like the experience. You just like going to the movies. You get a good action movie. Doesn't have to have a plot. Things are blowing up and we're good. You know, it's like an escape, you know. Those are, you know, I put my wife in that category, a movie buff. She's a movie, nothing wrong with it. Movie buff, you just like movies. Can watch the same movie over and over again. You know, it comes on TNT or Hallmark. Yeah, you know. Then you have the movie critics, right? I'm going to get to that in just a second. I'm a connoisseur. You know, I enjoy a good film. I'm in the entertainment industry. I worked as a producer for a while. So I can appreciate things like lighting. Yeah, I actually look at the lighting in that shot. I can appreciate things like videography, you know, storytelling, character development, you know, movie connoisseur. You know, that's what I am. You know what I'm saying? You know, and when I'm watching a movie at the theater and I got my Coke, you know, my Coke Slurpee, I got my pinky up. You know what I mean? Like, I'm a movie connoisseur. And critics are, you know, on the other end. You know, critics, they can find something bad about every movie. You know, they look for things to get mad about. You know, they don't like giving props. It's hard to give 5 stars. You know, they're critics. You know, movie critics, they're a certain type of people. You know, they're usually not just movie critics, but they're often also food critics. You know, they got something to say about every meal they eat. Not hot enough. Not fresh enough. You know, it could be done better. Where was the chef trained? You know, they can be food critics. You know, they can be sports critics. You know, Steph Curry's never good enough for some people. Doesn't play enough defense. You know, he can't give them, doesn't like to give away titles. You know, it's just a few, you know, a certain specific person I like to engage in, you know. You know, these same people are usually, you know, people critics.
Oh, okay.
You know, it's the type of people that write reviews like this. Me and my wife have my wife really gets into reviews, and she finds these reviews. I'm like, are these real? Like, people really write this stuff. I hope Aaron Campbell, if you're watching, you put yourself out there. Listen, he says, let me tell you about a critic people. He calls himself a strict critic. But I honestly enjoyed The Grinch, despite its obvious flaws. That's critic talk right there. The animation is amazing. The artists really expanded Whoville, like in the Jim Carrey version, but made the world around a little bit bigger. The plot, however, does have its flaws. There's that word again, flaws. And focuses less on how Christmas doesn't come from a store and rather more on if we decide to stay in the past and refuse to move on, it will lead to being miserable unless we decide to move forward. Amen, brother. This is actually a good theme, but it isn't very faithful to what the original and the 2000s version was based on, edit here, not to mention that most of the plot is filler. Critic talk. Some characters could have been left out. Like some of Cindy Lou's friends. Why? The fat reindeer? Body shaming the reindeer? Bricklebaum? It could have been left out. However, I like this character a lot. Is he supposed to be left out? Yeah, like, I mean, the Grinch was softened up a bit. It may have been way too kind or nice to start as a Grinch, but rather a grumpy person. But I still enjoyed his character. He was way too nice. But I still enjoyed his character along with his amazing contraptions. You know what I won't complain about? I won't complain about Cindy Lou. Because in both this and the 2000s version, her character completely changed. I'm going to complain about everything else, but not Cindy Lou. The other character, her friends, yes, not Cindy Lou, though. There could have been more songs. Critic talk. Could have been more songs, come on. But luckily they still kept Welcome Christmas and You're a Mean One. Warning, capital letters. Remix may take a few days to get used to. Which is still respectful to its predecessor. Overall, despite its flaws, it's critic talk. I enjoyed this movie. Did you? And I had fun watching it. Flaws may be noticeable, but it all depends on what you think. Why are there so many contradictions here? I enjoyed it despite its flaws. The plot has its flaws. Actually, it's a good theme, but not faithful to the original version. Should have left out a character or two, but I like this character a lot. Won't complain about Cindy Lou. Flaws and all, I enjoyed the movie. And then the biggest contradiction of all. But it all really depends on what you think. Well, if it depends on what I think, then why'd you write the review? There's a contradiction on the review itself. It's not really what I think. I just told you what I think. It's not really about me. It's really about what you think. You know, critics, they don't really care about what you think. They really don't. You know, critics want to let everyone know what? Wow, y'all are with me today. I like it. And these people have always existed. Jesus actually had a word for them. He spoke to them. Yeah, he had a word for a whole generation of Grinches. And that's the title of my message today, a generation of Grinches. Quick shout out to Danny Macaluso, Pastor Danny. He's a big Grinch fan. He has the Grinch tatted on his body. I think it's on his arm. He's a big Grinch fan. And I'm still going to give him a shout out, even though his Bills beat my Dolphins last night. He's up there in Buffalo. Shout out, Tim. I take it. All right, let's get to this word, to the generation of Grinches. Luke chapter 7. We've been in the book of Luke studying out Jesus and his invitation to the miraculous, okay? Let's see what he teaches us here. He says, "To what can I compare the people of this generation?" Jesus asked. "How can I describe them? They are like children playing a game in the public square. They complain to their friends. We played wedding songs and you didn't dance. So we played funeral songs and you didn't weep." Critic talk. "For John the Baptist didn't spend his time eating bread or drinking wine, and you say he's possessed by a demon. Now the Son of Man, on the other hand, he feasts and drinks, and you say he's a glutton and a drunkard and a friend of tax collectors and other sinners. But wisdom is shown to be right by the lives of those who follow it." We are 7 chapters into the book of Luke, and Jesus has had enough. He had enough with this generation of Grinches. And he calls out these critics. He says, it reminds me, let me tell you what this reminds me of. It reminds me of little children. Grown people acting like little kids. We don't ever see that happen. He said, they're out in the public square. And they're playing a game. And they're playing make-believe, as kids do. So what are the two occasions, the biggest occasions in their culture and really most of, like, history of life that have been weddings and funerals? And so they see, and, you know, they party. They had week-long weddings and also week-long funerals, right? I mean, these were the biggest monumental events that children would see. And so they would play these games like, oh, let's go get married. You know what I'm saying? And they would have people there and they would act it out. And then they would play games. Oh, we're at a funeral. This is what happens. And they would, so that this was a game they would be playing, make believe. And we understand nothing was a happier occasion for them than the wedding. Nothing was a sadder occasion than the funeral. So it is two extremes of human social interaction, which actually mirror Jesus and John the Baptist. We'll get to that in just a second. So there's two ways to look at this, what Jesus teaches us here. First, we know that Grinches want their way. They want their way. That's what Grinches do. They want their way. That's what he's saying here. They want their way. Let's look here at the Grinch who stole Christmas. Let's look at this for a second. The book starts with this. "Every who down in Whoville liked Christmas a lot, but the Grinch who lived just north of Whoville did not. The Grinch hated Christmas, the whole Christmas season. Now, please don't ask why. No one quite knows the reason." The Grinch hated Christmas, and he wanted everybody else to hate Christmas, and so he sets out to cancel Christmas. And so the same thing with this generation of Grinches that Jesus is talking about. They wanted John and Jesus to be like them, okay? So they wanted John and Jesus to play their games, right? To do what they said, to adhere to their expectations. This is what I think a prophet should be like. This is what I think the Messiah should be like. But John and Jesus refused. Even though the Grinches, they wanted what they wanted, and they wanted their way, they could not get their way with Jesus. They couldn't get their way with John the Baptist as much as they tried, going from one extreme to another. We're going to play everything in between, from wedding songs to funeral songs. We're going to do whatever we can to try to get you to fit our mold, but they could not control them. They could not make them dance, and they could not make them weep. And when John and Jesus did the opposite of what the people expected and what the people wanted, the people condemned them. They wrote reviews on John and Jesus. May have gone a little something like this. I went to go see John today, the guy they call the Baptist. I was feeling guilty about some of my sin, and so I heard he was baptizing. I went down to the river, and there was a lot of people there. He was baptizing them, and, you know, I was a little appalled by his appearance. No, he didn't quite fit the mold I'm used to for a prophet. I don't know. He was a little bit too grizzly for me, a little too edgy. You know, he was snacking on locusts. I mean, can you believe, in the middle of the message, he just takes a locust, puts it in his mouth. I mean, what's happening here? You know, he doesn't come down to the city. He doesn't hang out with us, but he wants to tell us what to do. You know what? He's a little bit too out there for me. What I heard was he was the demon possessed. But overall, it was an okay trip. And on the other hand, you know what? Jesus came to my town today. No reservations. I walked right in. There was a dinner, and they said anybody was welcome. I noticed that he was sitting with some unschooled, ordinary men. They smelled a little fishy. But I said, this is Jesus. They call him the Messiah. I wanted to see who he was. And so I sat down and listened. I appreciated how gentle and caring he was. I mean, I couldn't believe that this rabbi, he actually said hello to me, looked at me in my eyes, and actually made me feel like I was important. But then I saw him afterwards, and he was drinking some wine. I said, I've heard a lot of things about the Messiah. I don't know if he's supposed to do that. But I said, okay, I'll take it. I just don't understand why he's always hanging out with those oppressors. The tax collectors. I still owe them money. And then he's hanging out with them. You know what? He was a good fella, but I think I'll pass. I think that's how the reviews may have gone. I think that's what Jesus was saying here. He was saying, nothing we do is enough for you. You have your expectations, but guess what? We're not ever going to meet those. No matter how much you try, you're not going to be able to control us. And now that's one way to look at it. The other way to look at the scripture is that John and Jesus are the ones actually trying to influence the people. So Jesus comes with wedding songs. John comes with funeral songs, but the people would not be satisfied. So it could be seen that John and Jesus are the ones complaining about their friends, that nothing we do is ever good enough for you. So we know that Grinches want their way, but we also know that Grinches are never satisfied. It's never good enough. So John the Baptist comes. He's a social outcast. He's a wild prophet. He's preaching fire and brimstone. You brood of vipers. Man, he's going in on them folks. But he had nothing to do with those people. He nothing to do with their culture. He wasn't hanging around them. He was out on his own. He was called to that ministry. And then on the other side of it, so that could be the funeral songs, right, that they were trying to play for the people. Okay, if you like fire and brimstone, if you like some, you know, hardline preaching, some of y'all like that. Some of y'all say, I'm too soft. I had one of the students tell me that this past semester. Yeah, you are good, but I like hardline preaching. You know he went to Morehouse, he told me, you know. And on the other hand, you had the people's prophet. He's showing care and concern. He's healing and teaching, and he's hanging out at weddings, and he's showing up at funerals. But it just was never enough for some people. Grinches are never satisfied. Now, here's the thing. I can relate to both, and I can be both. I can be the Grinch that wants my way. I can be the Grinch that tries to control Jesus, that gets upset when he does something or allow something to happen that I don't really agree with or like. I can be the Grinch who's never satisfied, who can hear some hardline preaching or something about how merciful and forgiving God is and still be unmoved, still be obstinate, unwilling to repent. Now I want to ask you, what complaints have we had about Jesus? I know it's Christmas season. I know we ain't supposed to say these things, the things we struggle with, but that's why this is anonymous. YouTube, we can't tell, even if it's on YouTube. Can't tell. What are some complaints that we have about Jesus? Because we all do. And if you don't, if you've never had a complaint, you probably aren't in a deep enough relationship with him. It probably doesn't mean enough to you just yet. Let's see. Take two. Woo! Y'all started off with a bang. Jesus, you take too long. I've been waiting. You don't understand, Jesus. Why do I have to pray so much and you not answer? Not working on my timeline. Unanswered prayer. Not compassionate enough. Ask for a lot. Ooh, timing is a big deal. Jesus is forgetful with an exclamation mark. I kind of like that, by the way. Ooh, I'm glad he forgets my stuff, boy. Doesn't hear, too forgiving, especially when it's for other people. Like, not for us. He can never be too forgiving for us. But for other people, how you gonna forgive that? Okay, all right, Mike. Too many rules. Timing, why are you taking so long? Why doesn't he grant my wishes? He doesn't save me from my thorns. Oh, that one hit right there. Why that thorn? This is there. Why? Can't you take that one away? I'll take another one. A smaller one. I want a little tiny thorn. You know? I don't want the one I have. Thank y'all for being real. You know, the truth is we've all had a hard time. And we can keep scrolling little by little. Bad listener. Yeah. Ooh. Don't like black people. Some people grew up. White Jesus may not like American Jesus. Right wing Jesus. Maybe. The truth is we've always had a hard time with Jesus. His ways are just, they're not our ways. They're just not our ways. We can't put him in a box. And that's why I struggle at times. But it's also the reason why I love him so much. I love the fact that he's so dynamic and multi-layered and multi-dimensional. I love the fact that he's not like me. I love the fact that he's God and I'm not, because if he was like me, then he'd be like me. He'd be human like me. He'd be flawed like me. So I'm glad that there's some things I can't understand. And yet there's some things that he does allow me to understand in the right time. And yet, if there's hope for the Grinch that stole Christmas, then there's hope for me, and there's hope for you. Because of that last passage, Jesus puts a bow here on this analogy. He says, but wisdom is shown to be right by the lives of those who follow it. Okay? Or, I like the Amplified version, yet wisdom is vindicated, shown to be true and divine by all her children, by their life, character, and deeds. Or as the Message version says, the proof of the pudding is in the eating. Yeah, if you country, you got that one. That's for the country folk right there. At the end of the day, what I love about Jesus, he's secure in who he is and what he's trying to accomplish. As disciples of Jesus, as his followers, are we secure in who we are and what we're trying to accomplish? And what God is trying to accomplish through us. You know, this generation of Grinches is constantly trying to put us into the box, constantly trying to make us fit their mold. And if we're too concerned about following the current trends, then we're going to miss out on who we're supposed to be and what God wants to accomplish through us. You know, I love this passage. It helps me not to worry about what the world around me thinks a Christian should be or even a pastor should be. What I should look like, how I should dress, what I should struggle with, and what I shouldn't struggle with. Because it is a challenge for me. I care about what people think. I care about, will I turn them off from Christianity? Because guess what? I hear all the bad preacher stories. I hear all the bad church experience stories. So I'm like, I have a little phobia, like, man, I'm not that person. I hope our church isn't that church. But I can't control any of that. Because at the end of the day, we got to be secure in who we are, because Jesus is secure in who he is. And at the end of the day, no matter what I do, no matter what the church, what we do, it doesn't stop Jesus from being Jesus. We have an opportunity to show them the Jesus of the Bible, not right-wing Jesus or left-wing Jesus, conservative Jesus or liberal Jesus, just the Jesus of the Bible with all his dynamics and complexities and dimensions, all of that. And they, like us, have to work it out. Got to work out who Jesus really is. But we also can give them an example of what it looks like to follow Jesus. And at the end of the day, Jesus is secure in the fact that true wisdom will be vindicated by all her children, which will in turn help the hearts of this generation of Grinches to turn their hearts to Christ. One can call that a Christmas miracle. Let's show this clip.
Just one more shove.
What's that? Do you hear it? They're singing? I don't understand, Max. Don't they know what I've done?
As he watched the small girl, he thought he might melt. If he did what she did, would he feel what she felt? And the luscious sound swelled, reaching up to the skies. And the Grinch heard with his heart, and it tripled in size.
What? Oh, no. Thank you. Fred? You came back.
Max, the gifts. We have to return them.
A true Christmas miracle. 1 Corinthians 1:18. The message of the cross is foolish to those who are headed for destruction. But we who are being saved know it is the very power of God. As the scriptures say, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and discard the intelligence of the intelligent. So where does this leave the philosophers, the scholars, and the world's brilliant debaters? God has made the wisdom of this world look foolish. Since God, in his wisdom, saw to it that the world would never know him through human wisdom, he has used our foolish preaching to save those who believe. It is foolish to the Jews who ask for signs from heaven, and it is foolish to the Greeks who seek human wisdom. So when we preach that Christ was crucified, the Jews are offended and the Gentiles say it's all nonsense. But to those called by God to salvation, both Jews and Gentiles, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. The foolish plan of God is wiser than the wisest of human plans, and God's weakness is stronger than the greatest of human strength. You see, the world will never know God through human wisdom. Never. Instead, God uses our foolish preaching to save those who believe. See, there's always going to be a generation of Grinches who want it their way and who are never satisfied. But to those who are called by God to salvation, Christ is both the power of God and the wisdom of God. I love that. Christ is the power and the wisdom of God. Wisdom is proved right by her children. Jesus is wisdom. He is the Word of God. He is God's wisdom. He is wisdom in human flesh. That's who Jesus is. That's who Jesus is. And so his children, wisdom's children, will ultimately be vindicated by our lives. What does that mean? At the end of the day, no matter who has a problem with Jesus and his followers, they should be able to look at our lives and say, wow, Jesus is real. We should be the Whoville of this world, right? That even when they didn't get their way, they're still singing and have a great time singing about Christmas. And the friend that comes back to get the Grinch, even though he was a jerk. And he was able to see something different in them. At first, what it seemed like foolishness to him ultimately helped change his heart. The miracle of repentance. So as we take communion, let's reflect on this foolish plan of God, which is wiser than the wisest of human plans. The plan that the power and wisdom of God would be crucified on the rugged cross, buried in a tomb, but resurrected back to life on the third day. So yes, let's be a generation of Grinches who experience the miracle of repentance and show others how to do the same. If you need communion, please raise your hand and our host team will give you a packet with communion bread, a little piece of cracker, and some juice. The cracker signifies the body of Christ that is broken for us, and the juice signifies the blood of Jesus that is shed for our sin. He rode into Whoville. He brought back their toys. He brought back their floof to the Who girls and boys. He brought back their snoof and their tringlers and fuzzles, brought back their pantookas, their dafflers and wuzzles. He brought everything back, all the food for the feast, and he himself, the Grinch, carved the roast beef. Welcome, Christmas. Bring your cheer. Cheer to all who's far and near. Christmas Day is in our grasp, so long as we have hands to grasp. Christmas Day will always be just as long as we have we. Welcome, Christmas, while we stand heart to heart and hand to hand. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for who you are, and we thank you for Jesus. Thank you for allowing us to see you in human form. And thank you that even though he looked like us and struggled through the same things we struggle with, he did not respond like we respond. Thank you that you are God and we are not. And right now I ask that you will forgive us of our sin, forgive us of our shortcomings, forgive us of our pride in thinking we know best, Father. Forgive us for trying to put you and fit you into our limited mold, Father. We're so limited in our perspective, Father. And yet we try to put limits on you. Forgive us for that, Father. And I pray that during this time as we take communion, Father God, that we can be grateful. Just be grateful for Jesus. And soften our hearts so that we can repent. We can experience the miracle of repentance, that we can move on and our hearts can change from being the critics that we are and wanting our way and things never being good enough for us. God, as we close out the year, help us to just be content and grateful. Just right now for a few minutes, hopefully for a few days, maybe even longer than that, Lord God, that we can truly give you the glory for who you are, what you've done in our lives. Be with our time of communion. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's sermon. New sermons are uploaded each Monday morning. Simply search The Path Church Atlanta in iTunes, Spotify, or your favorite podcasting service. Additionally, we greatly appreciate your feedback on iTunes. If you would like to learn more about The Path, we encourage you to visit www.thepath.church. We hope to fellowship with you soon.